You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
For the few past years, elevated levels of ozone have been recorded in the Sheboygan area along the Lake Michigan shoreline. Since levels like this are typically found in larger cities, a study was launched to help find out why.
Brad Pierce is a physical scientist for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He's also at the UW-Madison at the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies. Brad, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the problem here. Ozone, we like it up in the atmosphere, not so much closer to the ground. Why is that? Why is it harmful?
That's exactly right. So in the stratosphere, ozone protects us from ultraviolet radiation. Near the surface, ozone is bad to breathe. And so there's quite a few health studies that show that high levels of ozone are both problems for asthmatics, people with heart conditions. And so we're concerned about ambient levels of ozone near the surface.
And as I understand it, we usually think of ozone as a bigger city, major, maybe industrial city problem. It's surprising to find it in a place like Sheboygan.
Yeah, so I think kind of the typical view that people have had in the past is cities like Los Angeles, where they've had ozone problems for 40 or 50 years. Recently, or over the last 20 years, a lot of the emissions have gone down dramatically, significant reductions in ozone pollution as a result of the reduction of those emissions. And so now we have less problems in some of the major urban areas, but that pollution is still transported away from the urban areas. And so we see places like Sheboygan that are now feeling the impacts of that. And actually, they have in the past as well.
What causes ozone at the ground level? What kinds of emissions, what kinds of activities are creating this ozone?
So the ingredients for ozone, you need nitrogen oxides. And you need volatile organic compounds. Both of those come from both cars, particularly the nitrogen oxides, from power plants, and from industry. The volatile organic compounds can also come from biogenic regions, so plants and things.
When we say there are ozone problems in Sheboygan, can you compare the levels we might see there to what we saw in worst cases like Los Angeles at the heyday of
ozone? So again, Los Angeles in the 70s had ozone levels that were up around 200 and above parts per billion, which is four times or so what levels are now. In Sheboygan, in the 80s, there was levels that were certainly high, well above 100 parts per billion. The current regulations for ambient ozone are set at 70 parts per billion, and that's the level that's deemed above that would be unhealthy. So we're still seeing levels that are well above the threshold that can cause health problems.
And is this a case where if we say it's 70 parts per billion, it's like that every day, or are there some peaks and valleys where there's some
Absolutely.
Really worrisome days?
There's peaks and valleys, and in fact, they're very, very sharp peaks. So, for example, during the field study that we had, which started in into May and went through June, we had three significant ozone events. But those three events are important, particularly from a regulatory perspective, because the ozone standards are determined by the highest events during a period.
If I have asthma, for example, I'm worried about those big
Exactly.
days.
Right. And that's why the National Weather Service, which is part of NOAA, and the EPA and the Wisconsin DNR put out ozone advisories on those days where the ozone is high.
Talking to Brad Pierce from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, also with the UW-Madison, looking at an effort to track ozone levels in Sheboygan and to figure out where that ozone is coming from. And that brings us to the research you're doing. Talk us through the kind of things you've been doing on this project.
Okay, so again, ozone isn't emitted. Ozone's formed in the atmosphere. So what we need to understand is what are the various pollutants that lead to ozone production.
Got it.
And so again, what we're looking at are the levels of nitrogen oxides, the levels of volatile organic compounds, and the meteorology that drives the transport from different source regions into the Sheboygan area. We also focused a lot on, there's a number of power plants along the shore of Lake Michigan, and those are certainly contributing to some of those pollution levels as well.
So how do you track where those various ingredients in that stew that makes ozone, how do you start to track where they're coming there from?
So we have a number of different tools that are available as we're conducting the field mission. The National Weather Service forecasts ozone. and forecast pollution. So we were using that as guidance. We also had the University of Iowa was running some very high-resolution forecast models that we would use to try and track where the pollution is likely to be going. But the key part of the field campaign was the collection of measurements. So we had a number of different ground stations, two main sites. Sheboygan was one of them. Another one was Zion, Illinois. So these high ozone levels are not just in Sheboygan. They're actually all along the western coast of Lake Michigan, beginning just south of Chicago, or north of Chicago, and then moving all the way up into Door County. So we had measurements along the coast. We had two different aircraft. One was doing remote sensing, so it could kind of map out the pollution over the whole region. Another one was doing measurements from in-situ measurements, and we're actually profiling what the concentrations of ozone and nitrogen oxides were.
So you're measuring the levels of not just ozone, but the nitrogen oxide, and you mentioned the volatile organic compounds.
Yes,
are you measuring
right.
those as well?
We are, that's right. So we had researchers, part of the field study was funded by the National Science Foundation, and researchers from the University of Wisconsin Chemistry Department, University of Minnesota, and University of Iowa set up what we're calling a super site at Zion, Illinois, and it measured a full suite of nitrogen compounds and also all these volatile organic compounds. We're still in the process of finalizing that data, so we haven't had a chance to look at it, but we're hoping that that full suite of chemical measurements will help us understand where the ozone's coming from.
How far can these ingredients that help form ozone travel? I mean, how big a target area are we worried about here?
So for this campaign, I do a lot. I've done a lot of field campaigns in the past, both for NASA and for NOAA. And most of my previous field campaigns were looking at much larger scale transport patterns. We can see ozone production from forest fires in Russia that are impacting the western U.S. sometimes. Hmm. So the transport can be hemispheric kind of scales. What we were looking at for this field study was much more localized. We're looking at a very narrow band where we see enhancements in ozone that's just along the coast of Lake Michigan, and it's associated with the lake breeze circulation that sets up there. And so we're looking at something that could, as I said, we see ozone enhancements that are above where we would anticipate all along the shore, all the way up into Door County. So that kind of, so 300 kilometers or so, but they're in a very narrow band, maybe only 2 or 3 kilometers inland, and that's the key to what we're trying to figure out.
Okay, so I'd imagine this is a lot of stuff coming in from other areas and getting trapped here. Is it maybe that it is a local area, but the conditions around Lake Michigan are taking all the stuff from that area that produces ozone and locking it into this band along the lake? Is that the right way to conceive of it?
Well, so again, we're collecting the measurements to try and understand it. There is certainly theories about why the meteorology over Lake Michigan is unique. And in fact, those theories helped guide the field study. And again, it's this lake breeze circulation. In the springtime, you've noticed the field campaign was fairly early. It wasn't in the middle of the summer. It started in May. That's when the lake is very cold. And so the sunlight warms the land up, the land heats up, the lake stays cold. You get these very shallow inversion layers. And what we believe is that pollution from Chicago, from Milwaukee, from various power plants along the coast get trapped in that very shallow inversion layer. So what's out over the lake is one of the things we wanted to understand. We had a NOAA research vessel that was equipped with measurements from the EPA that was actually making cruises out over the lake to try and understand what's out in the middle of the lake when we have these prevailing southerly winds that interact with this lake breeze circulation and lead to these ozone exceedances.
So still a bit of a mystery, and you're still taking, I assume, a lot of data and trying to do stuff with it. What is your hope? Once you've crunched this, can we put this into practice in some way that lowers those ozone levels?
So we won't. What we're doing with measurements will not lead to any lowering of ozone levels. What we're doing with these measurements is to mostly improve our ability to model and to forecast these ozone exceedances. First of all, so that we can improve our awareness and let people know for health concerns, but secondly, these same kind of models, air quality models, are used by the state agencies to design emission control strategies to reduce the ozone. If we can't forecast these exceedances, we can't use the models to design a strategy to reduce emissions. So that's the key use of these measurements. We improve our ability to model ozone along the shore of Lake Michigan.
So very briefly, as we wrap up, what would be the timeline if I'm an asthma sufferer in Sheboygan to know that, hey, I'm going to start getting more reliable ozone predictions?
Well, again, I'm working with the National Weather Service. I've got a team as part of the NASA Health and Air Quality Applied Science team that's going to be trying to take the measurements that we collected in Sheboygan and along the coast and use those in the operational forecast model to improve their emissions. So hopefully you'll see some improvements in the near future.
Brad, thanks a lot for joining us in the studio today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's Brad Pierce, physical scientist for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He's working here at UW-Madison, helping solve a mystery of elevated ozone levels in the Sheboygan area and predict them better.
Coming up, our guest tries to get to the bottom of the question, why do women bully each other at work? I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.